This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
All right. Is this G-Fark on the Google phone?
It is G-Fark on Google Voice. Yes, it is. Hello. Are we taping? Are we live? Hello. Check, check. 1, 2, 3.
Check 1, 2, 1, 2. Hello. And now, the Sloan Baxter Agency. Creative intelligence found online at SloanBaxter.com. Proudly presents.
It's a show.
Before we get started, G-Fark, let me just warn you that there is a girls' bridal type event happening upstairs at It's a Show's World HQ in the basement of my house. My daughter is getting married not this summer, but next summer, and today she presented all of her friends that she wanted to be in the bridal party with Tom's shoes in a box, and they opened the box and it said, "Please walk with me." And they were, all a titter, and they got punch up there, and they're painting. They're customizing all of their bridal shoes.
Wow. Quote-unquote punch?
There's non-alcoholic versions and alcoholic versions.
Nice. Well, I was worried when you were telling me that you were having a bridal shower in your house. I thought this might have been a new sideline that you were getting into.
You know me, I'll try anything for money. Welcome to an hour's worth of awesome in 30 minutes or less, or slightly more if you're lucky. I'm GA.
And I'm G-Fark in Toronto.
And this is It's a Show. This week, the first official submissions from our first unofficial cub reporter, Cassie Horesh. And we've got a sizzling surprise for Cassie, dubbed Hot Pants once upon a time by the artist formerly known as Sparky the Intern. Also this week, Parenting with Peaker won't fit into a PG rating.
He pulled on the tube, and I almost came unglued, Matt. I screamed like a little girl.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's just your job.
And a special guest star.
Hey, this is Parker from Parker Thompson Racing, and you're listening to It's a Show. I feel the need.
The need for speed.
Finger guns. Here we go.
Greg, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Parker?
Not too bad.
Where am I reaching you?
I'm at home, actually.
Beautiful Red Deer, Alberta, Canada.
Yes.
You're a guy that's never really home that much, though.
No.
What age were you when you started kart racing and then started traveling?
The age I started kart racing was 8 years old. And then the age we started to really travel with it was 12 years old. But I mean, from the beginning, Red Deer hasn't had a kart track. So we always had to travel to either Calgary or Edmonton. For the first couple of years. And then it got really serious when I was 12.
That's when everybody gets really serious.
Yeah, exactly.
How old are you now, Parker?
17.
You've done many interesting things that a lot of guys your age have never done, will never do, including living in Italy.
Yes.
Out of all the experiences you've had behind the wheel of a car and getting to travel, has that been the ultimate?
Yeah, I would have to say so. It was pretty cool to move over there at 14 years old by myself. But you know, there's always that repercussion of what you did. When I was on the plane going over there for the first 4 months, and that was when basically I couldn't see my family for 4 months. I was over there. When I signed the contract, all was fine and well. I was super excited, but heading on the plane, you know, you're always, wow. Mom and dad isn't going to be there to do your laundry or make you breakfast or do anything. You're on your own. I went over there, lived with a billet Italian family who spoke no English, and that was kind of our deal, is I could teach them English, teach their kids English, and they would put me up in their house.
How would you know how to teach somebody English?
That's a very good question. Luckily, they had a starting point. They knew, I mean, the very basics, just like I knew the very basics of Italian. But it's amazing how quick you can learn a language when you get put in an environment. And it all moved forward pretty quick. Within the first couple months, they could speak pretty good English, and I spoke not too bad Italian. So it was pretty cool.
What was your favorite phrase in Italian?
Probably a phrase I can't say on this show.
You can say anything on this show. It's the internet, man.
You know what? Italians are really funny because they were very expressive. They're just very passionate people. Anything they do, I mean, there's always that that funny saying that Italians always use a lot of hand signals, and it's true. I mean, they're super passionate and excited people, and it takes a little bit to get used to. When you first go over there, it's like you think everybody's really rude because they're very, you know, to the point and very snappy, when really that's just their culture. So pretty much anything they say I thought was pretty funny, but they did the best Mario impressions. So I would have to say those were some of my favorites.
Now, in the home that you were billeted in, what was the family name?
Luzzi.
Was it a multi-generational situation where you had grandma and grandpa in there too?
No, actually. Grandma and Grandpa did not live with us. It was just mom and dad and then two daughters and a son.
Because I'm picturing right now, I'm picturing the Italian version of My Big Fat Greek Wedding is what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty amazing. And there were a rare family. Most Italian families actually do have grandparents and then parents and then kids. So they were actually different. And the reason being was they actually moved north Italy. So that's where I stayed in was Bergamo. So that was quite north Italy. And their family was originally from southern Italy, Napoli. So they moved and the grandparents didn't want to move. So the grandparents stayed. But we actually, when I was racing in southern Italy, I got to get put up in the grandparents' house. And man, they cook me the best meals. Stuff you can't even order. You go to an Italian restaurant here or anywhere in the U.S. or anything. And I mean, they have the, your pastas and all that, but you don't have the good traditional Italian food that you do over there. It's just unbelievable. That's one thing I've been craving since I got back.
Do you remember what your favorite dish out of all the stuff you tried was? Like with pasta fusilli?
Yes.
Or what was it?
It was mozzarella di bufala, mozzarella cheese made from buffalo milk, and then prosciutto crudo.
I love it, man. I want to go to Italy. That'd be awesome.
Oh, some pretty amazing stuff. I'll have to give you, if you ever do go, I'll give you a menu and you just have to strictly order off of what I give you and you will have the best time over there.
I'll be in heaven. My taste buds will
be in heaven. Exactly.
You know, I have completely lost track at what level you're at now. So you're in Toronto doing a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
What are you doing there?
So we were in Toronto just last week and that was for the Honda Toronto Indy. So basically the series I race in now is the USF 2000 series. So it's the first series on the road to Indy. So basically, IndyCar has set up a ladder series with Mazda where it starts on USF 2000, then you move up to Pro Mazda, then Indy Lights, then IndyCar. And the series is categorized so that if I win USF 2000, I'm granted a $500,000 scholarship to move up to Pro Mazda. If I win the championship in Pro Mazda, I'm granted $1 million scholarship to move up to Indy Lights. And then if I were to win Indy Lights, you're granted a million-plus scholarship to get the ride in IndyCar. So it's a pretty cool series, a pretty cool combined series. It's not just USF 2000, it's the road to Indy. And very cool how they do it, how they grant scholarship money, which no other series today does.
For your poor mother and poor father Doug's sake, please win this. Get this scholarship money.
Yes. It's been a steep learning curve, but it's been a pretty easy transition, I have to say. A lot of young drivers usually really struggle with the transition to cars, where I've come in and had immediate success right away. We're sitting fifth in the championship out of 20 plus cars. So it's been really good, but obviously we want more. I'm really looking for my first win this season. I want to get that first win, but it's tough when you're competing against a lot of kids that are from Europe and kids that have had 5-6 years already in cars, let alone carts. I mean, the young man who's winning the championship right now is 23 years old. So I can imagine myself in 6 years, I'd hope I'd be winning the championship as well.
And I believe you absolutely will, man, because you put your heart and soul in it. And I saw that.
Exactly.
I saw that one Facebook clip you just put up mid last week, and you're in the car and it's raining. And from the camera standpoint, we can't tell what's going on. And you're going, how fast would you have been going at that point?
In the rain, we were doing about 180 kilometers an hour.
Oh, my God.
In the dry, we do over 200. But in the rain, you got to slow down just a little bit, you know, be a little cautious.
So is it like super extra stressful when the track is wet like that?
Yes and no. I actually thoroughly enjoy a wet track due to the fact that it's this year we've had a lot of success with wet racing. I don't know, maybe other drivers get a little more cautious than I do, but so far we've been really successful in the wet. We've been top five every time it rains. So that's been awesome. I mean, I love the wet, but it does add that little bit of extra flair to it. I mean, a mistake in the dry means, you know, a couple tenths lost. A mistake in the wet, you could be out of the race. So it's definitely, you got to just make sure you hit your marks and hit your point.
This It's a Show social media update, shout out, who's awesome, your awesome segment is proudly presented by the friendly folks at Open Highway. That's openhwy.com. Your customers are already sharing the good times they're having on their social media. Why not let Open Highway show you how to tap into your customers' brand experiences and generate excitement for your brand? Open Highway, making social sharing fun and profitable for your business.
Well, GA, thank you very much for that stupendous introduction. Truly appreciate it. We were worried about getting to 500 only a couple of weeks ago at the beginning of June. And here we are 3 weeks into the month, and we've already shot our way through 600 followers on Twitter. So that was a pretty hectic first 2.5 weeks of June. We added over 100 followers.
That is amazing. Now, let's just talk about this for a second, because we've got more Twitter followers than the guys on the CMT television show Tornado Hunters.
I think they have just over 500, so we thought we'd actually include them in the shout-outs this week to try and maybe help them to 600 at least.
Okay, so now Cassie Hot Pants Haresh has a personal relationship. She's buddies with these guys, and that includes Chris Chittick, at Chittick Chris. That's C-H-I-T and then Tick Chris, which is kind of creepy. He's the videographer for Tornado Hunters on CMT at T-Hunters TV. And that's going to debut, like G-Fark said, in the fall at CMT.ca. He hails from Regina, the beautiful city of Regina. Got to be a Riders fan like me. I got my Riders hat on right now. I got this beautiful limited edition Riders ball hat from Ralphie. He's the grand poobah of the Napa Auto Parts dealers here in Sylvan Lake. So thanks a lot, Ralphie. I'm wearing it proudly. And apparently Chris Chittick has encountered more than 400 natural weather occurrences on two continents. This man is a wild man.
He actually is American, and he's transplanted to Regina. Just to clarify things there, GA, because obviously you know that that is my role here.
I have a saying, G-Fark, it's never let facts get in the way of a good story.
And he's on the show with at Tornado Greg, who is Greg Johnson, and Forbes Ricky, who is Ricky Forbes.
Yeah, I love that name, Ricky Forbes. That's awesome.
It sounds like a football player, actually.
It does sound like a CFL guy. Ricky Foley, it sounds like. Anyway, CMT.ca, they're pulling down a lot of great shows. They are still running the Roadhammers miniseries, so check that out online, CMT.ca. Good stuff there. And we also want to give
a... Go Everywhere. Yeah.
What's that now?
It's called Go Everywhere.
That's right.
With the Roadhammers.
That's true. Thank you. And a shout out to the Dirt Road Angels at Dirt Road Angels 1. From the dirt road to the main stage, the Dirt Road Angels, aka Canadian country music Spice Girls. Really? Is that true? They've released their debut album, Paint the Town Red.
They're five lovely ladies from Edmonton, Alberta. And that's including at Shauna Lynn, at Shauna underscore Lynn. They actually got a great Twitter page. They were just at the Beaumont Blues and Roots Festival in Beaumont. So they're five lovely looking ladies. So check them out. They sound great. And they look even better.
The Beaumont Roots and Blues Festival, one of the most painful memories of my recent life. And here's why. I intended to go, had the bags packed, was going to head down there, take in the Boom Chucker Boys show, and then Doc Walker following that on the Saturday night. And then my beautiful bride got deathly ill. So we missed the whole performance, missed the whole thing. But luckily, I saved a little bit of Ryan from the Boom Chucker Boys from last week's episode for you this week. As a brief side note, Ryan, I shared your talents with one Cassie Hot Pants Haresh, an aspiring Olympian, Skeletor. Remember that one time at band camp when I was doing Walk a Mile in Her Shoes? And you were at work, you were hard at work, and you took the time to make me a quick, inspiring little mini song video. And it came to me just in the perfect time, right before we started the walk a mile. And it's difficult if you've ever done it as a guy with the high heels and everything.
Yeah. Hey, man, I was inspired by your walk today. I thought I'd sing you a little motivational song. Here we go. He's got legs. Whoo! And he's gonna use them. Walking like a lady. Yeah. In high heel shoes, yeah. Doing what he can, yeah. To raise a lot of money. Walk well, my friend. Walk well.
I keep that on my phone to this day. Just when I'm feeling down, I just crank that up, and it's classic. So I am asking you, by the end of this show, can you create Cassie Hot Pants Haresh a little Hot Pants song?
Yeah.
Do you accept that songwriter sweatshop challenge?
I accept your challenge.
Our special guest this week on It's a Show is Parker Thompson of Parker Thompson Racing, and it's sponsor shout-out time, man. Let her fly. Who do you want to thank?
Oh, you know what? Basically, I can't thank Active Screen Printing enough. They do some awesome t-shirts for me. JDC Motorsports, got Bell Helmets, OMP, and all the rest of them. I mean, I can't thank them enough. And also, I'd like to thank Global Traffic Group, who sponsors my distracted driving campaign that I'm running here in Alberta. We're going to over 100 schools over the next 2 years, promoting the dangers of distracted driving with help from Alberta Transportation as well. So I can't thank that group of people enough.
You're such a pro, man, because I was getting there, and then you just transitioned yourself in case the old DJ forgot. But here's the thing. Here's what I want to know about that. What came first, the sponsorship, or were you the catalyst to start this distracted driving program?
No, I actually started it myself. I locally here in Red Deer, I got a hold of local MLA Cal Dallas.
Right.
And we went forth. Basically, I presented him what I thought a distracted driving campaign should look like and what I thought I should do. And he thought, hey, that's awesome. But also, I mean, I needed the money behind it because it is pretty expensive to go from school to school promoting distracted driving. So he took the initiative to introduce me to Honorable Wayne Drysdale, who was at the time was the head of Alberta Transportation.
I thought he was the banker from the Beverly Hillbillies. Mr. Drysdale. Go ahead.
So basically got introduced to him. He loved it. So we did one event in Edmonton and then basically went forward with a big campaign over 100 schools. So now we're taking down that initiative and we've got Global Traffic Group on board. So they do all your basically your streetlight traffic cameras. So if you ever get one of those in the mail, you can thank Global Traffic Group.
Thank you, guys. That's awesome. Yeah.
The feedback has been really well. That's what I've been amazed by is that.
I imagine it's very effective because it's a peer-to-peer type situation. It's not some old fogey, somebody my age telling these kids, hey, wagging the finger, don't play with your cell phone while you're driving. It's an actual person that's in their shoes.
Yeah. And you know what? I was a little hesitant. I didn't know how the kids would take it because I've sat through a lot of presentations where I fell asleep in them. and I made sure when I started this campaign that I would not have a boring presentation. I wanted to make it fun and energetic and have a good time with the kids. So as much of a lecture it is, you're exactly right. It's peer-to-peer. We have a great time through the presentation, but we also get down to the nitty-gritty and get down to the facts of it's our leading cause in teen death right now in Alberta is distracted driving. And we have to get the point across, obviously.
Cell phones are as addictive as cigarettes. I mean,
oh,
you got that thing in your hand. The whole world is in the palm of your hand. You got to see what's going on. You're so attached to it. That's where the problem lies. And they built these things on purpose to be this addictive.
Exactly. And you know what? I would say it's more addictive than cigarettes, really. Everybody's got them. And, you know, if you look at drinking and driving, you actually have to consume the alcohol before you drive. And it actually takes time. Whereas texting and driving, all it takes is 5 seconds for you to look down, grab the phone out of your console, and you could end up in an accident. So extremely dangerous in that respect.
I'll be 100% honest, and I should know better at my age. But, you know, I've had my phone in the cup holder before, and I've turned a corner, and my phone goes flying on the floor mat or whatever. And for some reason, that can't wait a second till I stop at a light or whatever. I am diving for that phone. You know?
I know.
It's ridiculous.
And you're not alone. It's not just you. At least you're honest about it. Everybody does it. And that's the scary fact, too, is, I mean, it's not just one or two on the road that you have to worry about. It's everybody doing it. And another scary fact is it doesn't even have to be you texting and driving. You can pride yourself off of being 100% clean, putting your phone in your glove box or turning it off, but it's the other people on the road around you. And there's been a lot of tragic accidents where families and single people have been involved in accidents that weren't even the cause of them. It was somebody else texting and driving, and unfortunately, it's taken their lives. So it's definitely a major topic that I'd like to defeat for the community of Alberta.
Parker Thompson, our special guest on It's a Show. Parker, thanks for taking the time for us today and continued success. You're rolling along great.
Thank you very much, Greg. I'm really glad I got on the show. It's been a long time coming. Really glad I could say I've finally done it.
Yeah, that's something to add to the resume, to be sure. we're going to have some exciting news right around the corner, and there'll be an opportunity for you to come in live and be one of our first live in-studio guests. So stay tuned for further developments.
Perfect. Can't wait for sure. No, thanks, Greg. I appreciate it. You know what? You gave me my start on the radio, so I got to give you some thanks.
Hey, hey, hot pants, rich, little Olympian, oh yeah. Always giving all she's got, giving her very best. Well, it's Hot Pants Rich, Cassie Hot Pants Rich.
So there it is. She hasn't even heard it yet, G-Fark, but that's it. The all-new Cassie Hot Pants theme song, custom-made by Ryan from the Boomchucka Boys. It's beauty.
Perfect. That's going to be a great intro for her.
Mm. And speaking of her, let's go to some tape from Cassie Hot Pants Rich live in America.
Okay, so here we are, 8:50 in the morning. Temperature is already 40 degrees Celsius, pushing 100 Fahrenheit. So I'm on my way to Los Angeles, California. Here's the deal. So I got into the top 10 of that All Stars of Giving humanitarian award. Whoop whoop. And I am now going to this dinner in Bel Air. Insert Fresh Prince of Bel Air music here.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel Air.
It's me versus 9 other incredible athletes, some of whom I recognize their name and some of whom I do not. So we have Travis Hamonic, who's also a Manitoba born and bred human. Holler, Toba Proud. I know Peaker's smiling right now. Brett Favre, you guys might know him. Certainly, I feel like I'm entering into the big leagues for this little situation. And the other thing about it is that they actually haven't even decided who the overall humanitarian is, because we are literally meeting the committee tonight during this mixer. We'll promote ourselves and of course, my charity, Fast and Female. We'll talk about those things, and we'll see if wearing a dress and showing off the athletic body doesn't at least get me chatting with a few more people, right? Right. I'm looking at my GPS here, and it says that I have 6 hours to go. So, I'm sure this won't be the only time I have thoughts about this whole process.
That's a little bit of Cassie on her own, and obviously slightly delirious in a car for hours on end, heading from Phoenix to Los Angeles for this big award show that we all voted on. She's up against some unbelievable athletes and philanthropists, including Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
We don't know the outcome of what happened at the award show, but we do know that Cassie stayed at the beautiful Hotel Angelino in Los Angeles.
I like it. Do you guys have many famous guests? Like anyone that comes back a lot?
Our favorite story happened before I was here. It made me really mad. But Fergie and Josh Duhamel, before they got divorced, they moved into the Brentwood Hills around this area, and their house is getting like renovated, so they stayed here for like a month. And they moved out all of our furniture and put in all of their furniture. It was like crazy. We have a daily wine hour in the lobby, and Fergie would come to the wine hour and like sell the wine to all the guests, and they'd be like,
is that for delicious?
It's pretty funny.
I have a question for you, if you don't mind. I'm just going to record it. So she was saying that a lot of times you guys do get like famous guests and stuff. Do you have any like famous guest stories where you were serving anyone?
Probably Cedric the Entertainer here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's pretty
cool.
Yeah,
nice.
Hopefully I don't get in trouble for it.
You won't. I promise.
This is Erica Mal with Hotel Angelino, and you're listening to It's a Show.
We do a lot of filmings too. Like people will go in there, rent the room to film for TV shows and stuff like that. We mostly get, like, when people are interviewing people for a TV show, or, like, even magazines will host their interviews in there.
Yeah.
Probably because the view plus it's kind of quiet.
Yeah,
up
here. Yeah.
And then, this is Marlene.
Hi.
This is Cassie.
Cassie, nice
Marlene.
To meet you.
We've had a couple of like reality shows film here, and sometimes they need us to step in and we pretend to be like waitresses and stuff,
right.
And we'll be
nice.
Like, wearing this stuff.
Just the extras?
We're
Are they giving you any money for that? They're just like, no.
And then we look it up later and it's like, nice. That show never aired, and we're like,
dang.
Okay.
I've never been to LA, so
really?
this is my first time.
Wow.
So yeah, driving in yesterday was an adventure in itself. People are always complaining about how boring it is to drive through the prairies, particularly Saskatchewan. Not that I'm complaining, but the desert isn't that much more exciting. I mean, there's some cool, like, mountain-looking dirt hills, but it's not, like, the same as the Rockies or something. People are just far too picky, I think. Just drive. On the I-10 here. Has anyone ever wondered what truckers talk about while they're driving? Because I wonder that. There seems to be a lot of semis, or semis, as they would say down here. Your guess is as good as mine on what they're actually talking about. And as I drive around with my name on the side of my car, I often wonder if I ever get noticed in terms of, what's a skeleton racer? And then that'll spark up a new whole conversation.
Hey, this is Clayton Bellamy of the Road Hammers, and I love me some openhighway.com.
Speaking of people who love a microphone, has anyone heard from Sparky?
Well, if you're asking me, GA, I've heard briefly from him in little snippets via email, but he's somewhere in the midst of a big trip between L.A. and Las Vegas. Apparently, he ran out of data on his phone plan, so we've got that issue to deal with because apparently he was sending all the pictures and everything of his big Dodgers Day expedition. But we've got him checked into the hotel in Las Vegas, and he is hooked up to free Wi-Fi. So we're getting him and Cassie and the quote-unquote logistical helper to get them set up for their big trip tomorrow to the Las Vegas High Roller, which is the big Ferris wheel connected to the Link Hotel in Las Vegas, getting that hooked up with Caesars Entertainment. So that'll be pretty cool.
Okay, so there's going to be three of them, Cassie and Sparky on a date with a chaperone.
Exactly. Well, I didn't want to really put it that way, but if you're going to put it that way, I'll go with that.
So we got a third wheel on the big wheel, Ferris wheel thing. That's going to be so awkward and so awesome for us. That's what that is.
Yeah, the third wheel Ferris wheel thing, I don't really know how that's going to work, but we'll see. Because, you know, actually, the wheel itself is pretty cool. The biggest one in North America or the world, I can't remember, but it's really huge. And they've got these big cabin type things that you go up with. They've got table. You can actually get drinks and stuff up there. It's actually really cool.
You're kidding me. It's a Ferris wheel with drinks on it.
So I've heard. You'd actually, you know, stop at the top and have a party and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch, GA was playing Monopoly, aka Monotony, with his family.
We got a prison next turn.
Roll, baby. Roll.
How does that work?
Three. Got a whopping three.
1, 2, 3.
No, I don't.
Okay. No, you don't.
No,
who has Gatno?
No
one.
No.
Do you want Gatno?
Let's buy it.
No, we don't need Gatno.
We're buying Gatno. Sign us up.
Just Edmonton, we want and Edmonton. Chatham Kent.
How much is
Chatham Kent?
2.2.
Where is
money's
this?
No object. 2.2
million.
Yes,
it is. So many
Chatham
out.
Kent is in Ontario.
Oh, Edmonton's okay.
Who's turn is it? You're outside.
Okay, we're out of prison now.
Yeah, but that's all you get for your turn.
That's wow, she loved that.
She felt that.
Hey, Emma, just read this.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Give me your card for Vancouver. For Vancouver.
No,
for money. For money. Who owns Vancouver?
We do.
How much is it?
60,000.
So how much minus that?
60,000?
How much minus that?
It's out to for 3 million.
Chatham,
7.67.
You have enough money to buy it?
No, let's not buy it.
Let's buy it. Chatham can't buy it.
That's 4 million, Dad! No!
How much do we have left?
You have 7.75.
Dad,
no!
Yeah, I
forgot.
I would buy it.
No! No! No!
Yeah,
no! No!
This is our chance to make money.
Rent is 500,000.
Ava, I would buy it.
Yes.
I own the other property
that's
telling me to buy it.
Try to get out of jail now. Unless you want to buy our jail free card.
I want to read it. It's our chance.
This chance isn't a wrong
this is
chance.
Discover diamonds under your Northwest Territories property. Collect 1.5 million.
Oh, my God.
You don't have Northwest Territories.
1.5 million.
1.5 million.
Shut up, Turner.
Five.
Where are we at?
Quebec. Holy... California is big on wind energy, and I just drove through the craziest... looking Windmill Valley, aka Autobots Assemble, because I was just waiting for them to just all like turn into a giant robot and just walk out of this. And there was this huge ominous pink red dust cloud thing that's been creeping over the east side of the hills towards us. Some wild views, that's for sure. It got as hot as 47 degrees on my temperature gauge here in the car. We're back down to 39. I'd like to thank Peaker for letting me know that President Obama is in Los Angeles. So clearly all the important people are coming to LA right now. He's there, I'm there. All hail the chief.
All right, I can do this.
Nervous?
Yeah. I think I took that pill. It's starting to feel pretty good.
Miles has a happy pill. What is in that thing? What color was it?
It was white.
Big?
No, it was tiny.
Well, I don't know if you appreciated this pregame ceremony, but that was a nice cake.
That was a nice cake. That was really well. I appreciate it. Dear balls.
It's not you, it's me.
Yeah, exactly. It's not you.
Oh. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what year that was that I had this exact procedure done. I think it was the... I'm going to say 2005.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Nice.
So I've been lighter for a long time.
No kidding, eh? That's where it's at, that Piper Creek.
Where's Piper Creek?
Where that fast gas is?
Really? They just do this willy-nilly anywhere now.
Yeah, so.
Oh, we got cops. We should get a police escort.
Yeah, we should.
Two cops right there. That'd be awesome.
Oh, my God, man.
Woo-woo. One Adam 12. See the man without balls. So I heard a story. The guy gets it done, and then it's still not done. Like, if you get somebody to side your house and they mess that up, that's one thing. You're going to, you know, get them back, replace the siding.
Yeah.
Do a vasectomy and you screw that up. Like, what kind of doctor is that? I wonder what the percentage of odds of that is. It's got to be small. Huh. Can you imagine if that was your business? This is what you do all day.
Just cut nuts.
Cut nuts. I don't think I would.
I'm sure the money's good.
I don't even like doing it to calves on the farm.
Like, I couldn't do it.
My brother-in-law is like he's a surgeon. It's unbelievable to watch him work. He puts the scalpel in his mouth between, while he's getting the vas, you know, you go like this to kind of work them out of there, the testicle, and then you cut it, throw it away, throw it to the dogs, or throw it in a pail or whatever, and then it's magical. Pretty precision.
That is like nuts, man.
That's not what they do with the guys, though. They just, it's a little more humane.
I'm not worried about it. Whatever. You know, it's just kind of one of those
things. I've seen you cry before.
You've seen me cry before, yeah. I'm crying right now inside. Dude, I'm not driving.
This is it. Where are we going?
Just over there, just where that Piper Creek Medical Clinic.
Okay, man. Good luck.
I saw a bra all off. Talk to you. I'm done.
Okay.
See you later.
See ya.
Okay, so G Fark, any new business on the table?
Well, we've got a few things. Most of them are, of course, under wraps and highly top secret, so we can't really discuss any of them right now. But it's interesting that we've got this situation with the Vegas trip going on. We might be hitting the jackpot when it comes to sponsorships, but we can't discuss it right now.
Like I said, the momentum is growing. We have a major announcement to make very shortly on this podcast. And when I say major, I'm not screwing around this time. I mean major.
And, you know, we're really rolling the dice with this one, GA. Honestly, it's amazing. In this last month, we've done so many amazing things and met so many amazing people that are really getting on the bandwagon with us. It's really inspiring and very exciting.
And you know what this just goes to show you, and fellow entrepreneurs out there who are trying to get something off the ground, all we've been doing is putting the word out and talking to people, telling our story to anybody who will listen. And I force it on people who don't really care. But, you know, all of a sudden, you knock enough times and the door is going to open. And in this case, the door is opening wide. It's all coming up lemons, which is a good thing.
Well, in this case, it is. Yes, absolutely. Because we're going to be making some really good lemonade. Actually, I was just looking on our Twitter account at JP Renay, R-E-N-A-Y, who an esthetician in beautiful downtown Red Deer, Alberta, who just listened to the podcast for the first time. They were just saying how much they were instantly a fan.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see. Our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name.
Hey, hey, hot pants are rich. An Olympian, oh yeah. Always giving all she's got, giving her very best. It's Hot Pants Harish. Can't say Hot Pants Harish.
Leaving tomorrow, so I didn't want to get too trapped in traffic here.
Oh yeah, Hillary Clinton's in town.
Oh, she is too, because Obama was yesterday.
Right.
And I had an event yesterday when I was here, and that, I mean, it was close. That's the reason I picked this hotel, but... Yeah, totally. People were complaining about it all night.
Yeah, double shot of Democratic love.
Yeah. What's your thought on the Donald Trump situation?
Well, I'm just talking with my wife about it. It's kind of mixed feelings in the sense that we know he's kind of a circus sideshow kind of performer. But at the same time, he says things that maybe a lot of other people wish they could say, you know?
Yeah.
And he gets away with it because he doesn't care. And nobody tells him, don't say that. Nobody tells him no. So he's not really running. This isn't a real candidacy. It really can't be. Because, you know, to say things like, well, I think Oprah Winfrey would be a great running mate for vice president. You know, I mean, that's like, you know, what is that? I mean, that's absurd. I mean, you know, she's never shown any interest in being vice president. And, you know, I mean, it's crazy. It's craziness. It's crazy talk.
Do you think that because of all his money, that's why he's just able to just freely speak?
Yeah, and nobody tells him anything. Nobody says, Mr. Trump, you can't say that Mexico sends only their worst to us. Because there are some very good people who come from Mexico. I live next door to them. You know, they're people. You know, they're not just rapists and murderers, like he said. So anyway, I'm off.
So will you be voting for Donald Trump?
No.
So no.
Yeah, so you're going to go up one level. You can either take the stairs or the elevators.
Okay.
Have fun.
And what was your name?
I'm Scott.
Scott. Cassie.
Yeah. Nice to meet you, Cassie. Have a great time.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Our executive producer, G. Fark, on the line from Toronto with Sloan Baxter. Now, G. Fark, you've been taking in some entertainment on a grand scale lately. Tell us about your concert experiences.
Well, you know, G., I've never wanted to turn down a free set of tickets. So this past week, I had a couple of opportunities to take up some people who were kind enough to offer some tickets to go see Rush. They were celebrating their 40th anniversary of, I guess, being a band. And they played two concerts at the Air Canada Centre in downtown Toronto. So I got to go see one of those, which was really awesome. I love Rush, and apparently Neil Peart is the world's greatest drummer, according to Paul Rudd. But the music is timeless. It's actually amazing. It was like 90% men there, and it goes to show you the audience that they do draw, and definitely a very iconic Canadian band, and it's hard to believe that they made it 40 years. Like, seriously. That's a long time.
I'm just going to stop you right there, G. Fark, and I'm going to play the greatest Rush track of all times.
Take off. It's a beauty way to go.
Jeez.
Take off, you hosers.
Hey, Getty, we'd like to thank you for coming on the album and singing on the hit single.
Well, it was my pleasure, eh? Like, I wish you guys, like, lots of success and everything.
Beauty.
Thanks
Getty.
A lot, eh?
That's great.
You're welcome.
Okay.
They didn't actually play that track. Spoiler alert, maybe I should have said that first, but definitely one of my favorite songs anyway.
From that end of the spectrum to the polar opposite, you saw the legendary Bette Midler in concert. What was that like?
Yes, GA, you know, Bette Midler actually is very fascinating. She's a great entertainer, and I would use the word entertainer because really that's what she is. She's not a musician. She's not really a singer. She's really an entertainer, which, you know, are few and far between these days.
That's what I like about going to a concert. I don't care if you're the best singer in the world. I want you to entertain me, and I want you to know show business inside out. And I mean, of that same ilk would be Cyndi Lauper and Cher. And my wife and I took both of those in last year, and that is show business at a high level. It is so, there's so much going on. There's a little old school vaudeville in there, and there's some great songs, relentless great songs.
She can sing. She can, well, I don't know if she can dance. She didn't really do a lot of dancing. It was more walking around, but she definitely could do a lot of the comedy. She does this really one bit in the middle of the show where she kind of does a cabaret style, you know, sing a little bit and then tell jokes. And then the bada boom with drums. It was very entertaining, and I was very lucky to be able to take it in. It was the second time I'd seen her. The last time was probably about 10 years ago when she was only 59. Apparently, she's 69 now. Definitely a great show and a good entertainer.
If I put you on the spot right now, what would be the greatest overall show that you've seen in your lifetime? And you're as old as me, so it's been a long lifetime.
That's a great question. And oddly enough, you probably have never even heard of this band. It's called Muse, and they're from the UK. They put on an incredible live show, and I was able to see them last year, and their performance is amazing. Their music is great. This little kind of techno-pop UK style, but the live performance was just amazing. They had this huge inverted pyramid that became a pyramid. It was all LCD TV screens that lit up. I could actually post some pictures on our Facebook page for people that are interested in seeing it, but it was just incredible, and that's always one that I'll remember, and I was very fortunate to see them because they don't tour in Canada all that much.
For me, I'd have to say the Rolling Stones, just for the sheer fact of the charisma. You can't take your eyes off these guys. They can play, they can sing, they can move around. They're senior citizens, but they're still rocking. These are icons, and you're getting to see. And the same thing happened when my wife and I saw Cher and Cyndi Lauper, and when we saw Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo and all those 80s acts that we followed as kids and were a huge part of our lives. It's just amazing when you're watching them, and especially if you got decent seats and you're going, wow, this is incredible. My whole childhood is happening again right here.
The one band that I have seen a number of times is U2, and they're actually coming up here in Toronto in the next couple weeks, I think 2 weeks from now. They're going to be at the Air Canada Centre for a couple shows. They're always good. But you know who else is coming up? And oddly enough, Peaker is not here to be able to verify this, but New Kids on the Block are coming up. I know that Backstreet Boys are one of his favorite bands, but New Kids on the Block are probably right up there for Peaker, and they're going to be doing two shows in Toronto as well. And honestly, they're entertainers. They're one of these boy bands that grew up and they actually have talent.
Isn't that Donnie Wahlberg?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's coming to town. It's a great show. Maybe they'll have burgers at Wahlburgers because they have a new Wahlburgers here in Toronto. Who knows?
Stop right there, G-Fark. Yep. That's your next assignment for It's a Show. You got to go to Wahlburgers, talk to people about the burgers, and you know, do some interviews. That would be amazing.
All right, full or without my mouth full?
Maybe amazing is the wrong word. And you brought up Peaker. Let me just tell you this, G-Fark. He had a life-altering experience this week.
Hello.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the stunning conclusion of no more parenting with Peaker.
Hello.
Okay, when I last saw you, you were a dead man walking. I was looking at you slowly, begrudgingly trudging towards a clinic door. You opened the door, and that's the last I saw of you.
So, like many men before me have walked that same walk, they reach a point at some point where they don't want to procreate anymore. That was me. And you want to hear about my experience?
I'm not sure if I do. I don't know.
No, I don't think you want to, but I'm going to tell it to you anyways because that's how I do it.
Let me crack a beer.
Okay, crack a beer and get some ice. and maybe some maybe like a leather belt just to chew on.
Oh, God.
Because, no, I'm telling you, man, that, like, I can survive Guantanamo Bay torture. No problem now. I know that I could survive that. No problem. Waterboard me, whatever you have to do, because what I went through that last time you saw me, man, was insane pain. You can't even touch it. Like,
okay, so here's the thing. When I had it done, yeah, the anticipation was the killer part. And I got there and whatever. There was a scrub nurse who thought she was down by the river with a washboard and went a little too vigorously on the fellas. And that kind of hurt, I got to be honest with you. And then they didn't expect a needle in both sides and all that stuff. I wasn't really thinking that through. But overall, in the grand scheme of things, when it was all said and done, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Not the case with you, apparently.
No, no. Okay, so this is what happened, man. Okay, I go walking in the office. I've had my anti-stress pill.
You got a little loopy from that one.
I did. I got a little loopy. I was laughing. I think I was laughing when you were dropping me off. So, you know.
Let me just tell the audience that 5 minutes after I dropped you off, I got a text. Are you coming to pick me up?
Yeah. You know, I saw that too. I was like, what the hell? So I go into the office, just me and him, man. He's like, let's do this. And I'm like, okay, I'm on board. So I get all naked, hop on the board, lay down. He's telling me, he's kind of joking around with me. That's what they got to do, right? You know, boom, boom. Get some needles in the old boys. You know what I mean? So that's the freezing.
Both sides right off the hop.
Yeah, both sides. Like just, you know.
Wow.
And that I felt. So anyway, so he starts working on the right side. So, you know, everything's fine and dandy. You know, I'm not really feeling a thing. He's kind of joking around with me. He's like, oh yeah, you know, I guess, you know, you should buy me dinner now or I should buy you dinner, one of the two. And I'm like, haha, yeah, funny and whatnot. And everything's going smooth. Well, then he goes to the other side. And when he went to the other side, he pulled on the tube and I almost came unglued, man. I screamed like a little girl.
I'm sorry. That's just your job.
I probably got a higher octave than my youngest daughter when I screamed. That is how much pain it was. And he goes, whoa, what happened? And I'm like, well, I felt that. And he's like, oh, well, I guess we should add some more freezing. And I'm like, yeah, you should. So anyway, so then he adds more freezing. So he gives it a couple of seconds. He goes, okay, I'll start working on it again.
I hate you so much. That one hurt. That one hurt just as much as the first one.
And this time I am like almost crying. Like I'm sweating, dude. Like it is immense pain. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, this is unreal. This has got to be worse than anything. Like the guy's doing like surgery on me without any real freezing on it. And particularly in the spot where it's probably the most sensitive on my whole body.
Okay. Whew. Wow. I didn't expect that at all. I really didn't expect that.
He goes, okay, let's add some more freezing. And I'm like, okay, add more freezing. Give me a shot. Again, he started to work. I felt it. And he's like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, you know what, man? We're this far. We're not going back. And I'm not coming back. Just do it. And he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, just do it. Just cut it. I don't care. Just do it. I'm sweating right now. Do it right now. And he's like, okay, well, I'll count it down. I'm like, don't count it down, man. Just do it. He just looked at me and he goes, okay. And then all of a sudden, snip.
Como se llama? No, Kelly Clarkson. How? Wow. I hate you. I hate you. Stop smiling, you jerk. Oh, God. What's next?
Oh, my God. I just. It was the worst pain, man. It shot down my leg and then up the side of my body, and like it felt like my testicle exploded. Like it was just nasty, man. And so I'm sitting there just sweating. Like I'm drenched in sweat and I'm almost crying. And he's like, it's almost gonna be done, man. And I'm like, just get it done, just finish it, and I just want to get out of here. And finally, he gets it done. And it was like the longest. Like it probably was about 2 minutes, but it felt like 4 hours. Like it
and
was,
didn't he make some joke about
your wife paid me to make it painful? And I'm like, not funny, dude.
Not funny at all.
Oh my God. I'm telling you,
the lesson for all of you young men listening that are about to face the same fate, don't go to a strip mall for your nut guy. Like yeah. When I went, it was a professional building. In a strip mall next to the Mac store. Like, what?
He was offering discounts. Oh. I had a flyer on my car. That's why I called him. That's how it worked, man. Yeah. You know? I thought he was legit.
There is a lesson to be learned here.
Anyway, so the procreation of the Peaker bloodline is now at a halt, as far as we know. And mankind, as we know it, may end. And it'll be pointed back to this day. So
you're not officially in the clear yet. You still get to have the magical follow-up appointment in 2 months.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. There's going to be a follow-up appointment, and it's going to work. Because I am not going back into that room. I am not. I'm not doing it. I can't even talk about it. I'm almost crying right now. I'm feeling it. Like, you're bringing me back.
As the amazing Billy Ocean once said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, going.
Boom.
You've been listening to No More Parenting with Peaker. Next week, it's the return of Sparky. All the details on his date with Cassie Hot Pants Aresh. Can I call it a date? I don't know if I can call it a date. But
well, I think technically they're going to deny that.
Peaker will be back a little lighter and fleet of foot than he was prior to this. God bless and be good. Not because you always want to, but because you really should. We'll see you in 7.
Bye, everybody.
Your pain is, it's a show's gain. That's all I say.